Show.
The grind. It's a bit of a cliche in league circles for how teams play these days. Have a listen to how Team Sheens describes his team's version, and then ask yourself how many other teams play the grind like this. Not many. And that's the problem.
Yeah, look, grind is an interesting word. You know, you can go one out. I think the issue is just, you know, doing what you've got to do. You know, play tough in the forwards, work together in groups, not necessarily one out. And when it's on to use the ball wide, you use the ball. I don't think you should just put the, you know, just play five straight up and kick. I don't think that necessarily wins your big games either. So, you know, but the issue is not going sideways too early for the sake of going sideways. Making sure we do get to our kicks and complete the set. I think that's more the grind, is the completion of the set. If you complete it using better football than one outs, you're going to be a lot better off too, your squad.
G'day everyone, episode 78 of Not The Footy Show kicks off in a minute. I've got DC Chapman alongside me, Warwick Nicholson, for most of the show. We speak to Nick McInerney at the end, Maurice Ciaras in the middle, and first up, Matty Duncan.
Not The Footy Show.
Stop the press, Des Hasler likes a referee. Yep, Des Hasler likes a referee.
I think any side is going to give another side anxious moments on that match position. Some of it was self-inflicted. We were a bit untidy with the position early. But on the back of a 5-1 penalty count, it's pretty difficult. And I think it's really important that we want Tony Archer refereeing the majority of the game. Okay, not the apprentice. Okay, because he didn't perform very well. What was his name? The other bloke? Rogers?
Show. Welcome to Not The Footy Show. It's episode number 78.
It's round 24 preview.
And we've got Matty Duncan on the phone. Say g'day, Matty.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good,
mate. Very good, mate. We're currently streaming live on Ustream. To everybody out there watching, g'day. How you travelling? You can speak to us via the the chat room?
Yeah, the chat room.
And also on Twitter at NRLTweet. But if you're listening to the podcast, you can't do that. That's why you should be listening when we do these show lives. DC Chapman in the sidecar with me, Warwick Nicholson, Matty Duncan on the phone. We're going to kick the things off this week with breaking news that Frankie Pritchard has been exonerated from his
shoulder charge.
On Wade Graham. We will discuss the tackle in depth with Maurice Ciaras coming up.
Later, okay, good.
A little bit later, but
because I've got my opinion.
Quick one from you, Matty. Do you reckon he should have had a week off for that shot?
I think so, but if you're going to hit someone hard, just do it with the shoulder.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. You can get away. I remember Petro Sivinaceva had an incident like that. It's a few years ago back, mate, but do you remember that? He got off as well.
I do recall it, yep. He should have gone too at the time, but yep. Yeah, I do recall very similar.
Indeed, we're sort of losing Matty a little bit
he's jumping in and out,
we'll see if we can rectify the problem. Look, big show, we're looking at, as I say, the Daly M nominees, the retirees, all the players that are basically sailing off to the sunset at the end of round 26. Some of them will be playing in the semi-finals. We've also got the round 23 review. Maria jumping on the line to tell us who she thinks is the worst team in rugby league in 2011.
We'll all have interesting
opinion on that. And then Nick McInerney a little bit later on. We're hoping to have him on the live stream, but there's a potential that he might be delayed. He's currently playing Sydney FC with his soccer club. So good luck to him in that. And we also have the quiz. And I didn't get any responses today, so I've come up with three questions.
Okay.
We're going to kick off with question number one right here on Not The Footy Show, episode 78. And the question is, are you ready?
Yeah. Are you ready, Matt?
All right.
This one to think about as we go, people. Don't use Rugby League Project, even though I did for the actual answer.
After giving me a hard time about it last week.
Name the last two teams to open the season with seven straight victories.
The last two teams to open the season with seven straight victories.
Extra bonus points if you can tell us who actually, which teams they were and what season that they were in. Now, that's the question. So any luck so far, boys?
Aussie Trent says you're looking sharp in your jacket, Woz.
And mate, I had to get to the tailors and see if I could figure out a way to match DC Chapman's work attire. rest assured, still wearing the tracky jacks down below.
It's a genuine sports jacket too.
It is. I don't know where it came from. I haven't seen it at all. But it just it arrived in my cupboard, as we call it in the profession.
You're supposed to make up a story and tell everyone what happened.
Okay.
Was.
Okay. Truth is, I met Ray Rabs Warren. Truth is, I was an extra on Seinfeld, and Kramer gave me his jacket.
Nice.
So there you go. This is the jacket. All
which
right?
Which episode?
And I'll tell you something else. I'm not even going to ask you. I want to know, but I'm not going to ask. You'll tell me when you feel comfortable. So what was it, 400? 500? Did you pay 500 for this? Over six? Can't be seven. Don't tell me you paid $700 for this jacket. Did you pay $700 for this jacket? Is that what you're saying to me? You are sick! Is that what you paid for this jacket? Over 700? What did you pay for this jacket? I won't say anything. I want to know what you paid for this jacket. Oh, my God. $1,000? You paid $1,000 for this jacket. All right, fine. I'm walking out of here right now thinking you paid $1,000 for this jacket unless you tell me different. All right, I'll tell you what. If you don't say anything in the next 5 seconds, I'll know it was over $1,000.
Which episode?
Yeah, which one was it?
Well, the one where he comes through the door. You know, the
one right.
So every episode. There you go, everybody. Yeah, hopefully we're doing okay with the audio.
You know which one it was? It was the one where Kramer tries to sell all the Frank Costanza's old coats and everything in his wardrobe.
Yes,
and make a lot of money on the retro suits.
That's why everyone's watching for the rugby league content here and not the footy show. So they're the questions. Maddie Duncan, we're going to kick off with a bit of news today that Alan Tun has decided he will retire. He won't see out the final year of his contract, mate. He's decided that the body is just basically, it's given up on him. I've got a couple of quotes here from him about his from his press conference, but do you think he made the right decision?
Oh, I think so. If his body's telling him that it's time to give it away, look, yeah, probably the right decision. We see, we've seen a lot of good players and good, honest players like Alan Tun probably go a year too long and they get remembered in the wrong way then. So yep. I think he's made the right decision.
Yeah, there'll be a bunch of stuff in the Canberra Times tomorrow. So if you happen to get that paper, grab it. If you want to see it online, all the journos down there have put together some moments of Alan Tung's career. Alan Tung's press conference, a couple of quotes from him. He said, over the past few seasons, I've sustained some injuries which have been hard to fully overcome. And I know that if I continue to force myself to play with these injuries, I'll be paying for it in the short term by letting down my teammates. But more importantly, in the long term, it'll impact my life after footy. So he's got major shoulder problems.
It's a massive thing for footy players.
He also added that, I truly believe that the Raiders fans are the best fans in the NRL. And I know, although we haven't had the best season, the team who will be representing you next year will be back up near the top of the ladder for you to cheer on. Doesn't say which. It says next year. Okay, fair enough. I thought he hadn't mentioned which year because you can't guarantee when the Raiders are going to be good again. He says, I look forward to seeing all the last home game in 2 weeks' time against the Panthers so he could say goodbye in person and thank you for all their support. Now, I had a chance to meet Alan Tung in a game in 2007 at Penrith Park. I happened to go to the footy with his second cousin's uncle's former something or other. Anyway, we got into the dressing rooms after the thing. They'd just beaten Penrith. Boys were going on, having a great time, and here he is. He's over in the corner with us, Buffheads, having a chat for a good 10 minutes. He didn't know half of us, but he just had a chat. He was warm, asked us questions, and we basically just basically feel very comfortable in a dressing room, which, if you haven't been in one before, people, you know, it can be a little bit
intimidating.
There's a lot of guys walking around in the nud. So unless you've played some sport,
and you feel like you're not supposed to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
You feel like it's sort of you're encroaching
Penrith
on their territory.
Ones are pretty small, so
yeah.
But mate, I think that he has probably made the right decision. I think he probably got manufactured from lock to hooker at the wrong stage of his career. Maybe if they'd tried him hooker more long term, start of his career, he might have actually turned into a decent rake. But he was just a little bit slow on the passing and whatnot. His defence was still pretty good, but Alan Tung has made the right decision by retiring.
Yeah, he's always been a decent player, and he will be remembered by everyone as quite an underrated player, I think, because he. You know, as far as not being able to represent his state or whatever,
He's been one of those. The comment I made to one of the journalists at the Canberra Times was, you know, with consistent players, you don't know, okay, their high or their low point, because they're always like, they just give a real good level of effort the whole time. Yeah. And they were asking what were his greatest moments, and it was hard for me to think of Alan Tung's greatest moments.
Yeah,
I reckon his best seasons were probably between 2006 and 2008, and he played pretty much lock forward that whole time. But yeah, he captained the Raiders for 5 years, so congratulations to Alan Tung on a great career. Now, we have a list of all the players that are going to retire at the end of this season. And we're going to start with the ones with the higher games played, etc. Matty, I think you could probably tell us who's at the top.
Bloke D. Lockyer?
Yeah, possibly.
That'd be him, yeah.
350 games. Now, Andrew Ryan's coming in second. This is current games, people, with 288. Who's next, Dave?
Preston Campbell with 264.
Toddy Payton will hang up the boots. He's been around since 1996. I think he could be, after Lockyer, the most tenured player in terms of longevity in the game at the moment. He has 258. Reece Wester, 218. Then who's next?
Alan Tung, 217.
Keep going.
Oh, Michael Hodgson, 203. Matt Rogers, 200, even. Adam McDougall, 192. Stop me when you're ready, was it?
Yeah, Luke Stewart, 190. Now, they will be having a special tribute to Luke Stewart this week at the South Sydney, North Queensland game. To his career, he's been one of those players that he probably got the most out of his ability of anyone you could think of in the last, I don't know, decade. He'd probably be one of those players that just got every ounce of ability out of himself, didn't he, Matt?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Just a real tooler, and yeah, just went to the bottom of the pit for his all his ability and produced it every week. A great player.
He was. Now, the last few there to see, Riddell, 189, Webb, 187, Brad Myers, who retired early on the season, 177, and then there's another player there. What's his name, Dave?
His name's Mark Gaznia.
With 170.
170.
Clinton Tiffey, 154. Chris Walker.
Retiring far too early.
151. Shane Elford will probably retire. He's on 148. Shane Tronk, who you know from playing up the Redcliffe Club. Matty, he retires with 147. Now, is that confirmed he won't play again?
That's what we've heard was. There's nothing that's come out officially, but that's the word.
Is there a reason why he's retiring?
Yeah, neck problem.
Neck problems, right.
Yeah. And we've got Paul Fatawira with 132. Jason Kalas, 102. Sorry, and then Taniela Tuiaki and Daniel Conn round out the group. Now, the next question is, what other players who haven't announced their retirement are a chance of retiring? There's a few names that I've thrown up here. I hope they don't retire, because I'd love to see any player, if he gets a chance to keep going, if his body's able to do it. Jason Ryle probably heads the list. I'm not sure if he's got another contract for next season, but he's got 199 career games, so he'll play 200 this week. Chris Hicks, 198. Sean Berrigan, 203. Troy Thompson, 162. And Reece Simmons, who came up for, what, two games this year?
Yeah, that's right.
The Dragons.
Yeah. He was already retired and only came back at the whim of...
Sean Berrigan, Matty.
Yeah?
Do you take a flyer on him if you... I mean, the Broncos probably don't have room for him, but do you reckon another club should put him on the roster for next year?
Oh, look, I think he could add a bit to someone's roster. He's so versatile in, you know, where he can play. Warriors have been using him a lot in the centres recently, but, you know, he can play a bit of hooker. He's just another player... I think Wayne Bennett once commented, probably one of the least talented, best players he's ever coached. A lot of talent, but just had a ton of guts and gave everything every time he played. So, yeah, look, I think he's probably still got something to add to a team.
Alan Tung's just left Canberra.
What do you mean by that?
Opening
yeah,
for...
I think he'd be a nice...
I think he'd be a great addition for the Raiders.
Yeah,
But I mean, you should see if they go down that road. So they're the players that are retiring at the end of 2010.
I remember Sean Berrigan being an absolute gun.
He was.
Back in the day, back in 2007, 2008, I think, was when he was playing with the Broncos. He was an absolute gun.
Yeah. He still played pretty good footy for the Warriors, hasn't he, Matt?
Oh, he's been very good. He's been a very good player. You know, he played good games for Queensland as well. Was a good player for a lot of years and in a lot of different positions for the Broncos. You know, started at different times at halfback, 5-8, hooker. And centre was the Broncos' leading try scorer 1 year as well in the centre.
Yeah, and he's got his head screwed on as well. He's not a loose cannon or anything. If you can get him for cheap money, he's well worth buying. If he wants to go around again,
left to go to the US, the UK a little bit early.
Yeah.
When he did leave, it was good to get him back. But yeah, I think a club could do worse than getting him as a utility.
Mad Dog, he started 11 weeks prior to when Lockyer debuted and played about...
Ah, true. Yeah, he'd be on that list, the Mad Dog, and he's only got 192 games, so he's played 160 less than one D. Lockyer. Carl Webb was announced last week, I think, or start of this week he was retiring. And someone wants to know, can we count Matt Rogers? Well, he did play that one game, and I think that obviously he was hurt, but he conveniently came back for that one game to get into 200 first-grade games, which was interesting. In 2000.
He hasn't played since?
No, he played one game. He played...
Oh, no, but he injured himself again.
Yeah, but he was on 199 and then played this game to get to 200.
Joined the 200 club, good on him.
Good luck to him. So they're all the players that are retiring. And we've got that question, people, still asking.
What is it again, was I?
Still asking, what are the two teams that won at least seven games to open a season? Or the last two teams to win at least seven games to open a season? Tick, tick,
that's
tick,
a
tick,
hard
tick.
One, was I?
Yeah, oh, it's not easy, but that's why it's getting asked at the start of the show.
Matty, have you got any ideas on that?
I know the Broncos have started well a couple of times, but I don't know if they...
That's the thing. You don't. There might have been one game in there that they might have lost, and you just got no idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, as you're thinking about that, the best banner possibly of all time was at a game between Canberra and North Queensland Cowboys a couple of years ago. I think it could have been last year. Dave, do you want to read out to the listeners what the sign said?
It's a big white banner with green writing, and it says, "Who needs a big willy when you have a great tongue?"
And that could possibly be the best tribute banner I've ever seen. It's outstanding. And if you have a look at the photo, it's on our Tumblr account. But the bloke on the right, as you look at the photo, he's got a T-shirt on that is one of those sort of big lip things. And well, then out of it is a massive green tongue.
Yeah, like the Rolling Stones.
I want that T-shirt. I want that T-shirt.
Yeah.
So whoever you are, champ, how do we get our hands on that T-shirt? Look, we're going to have a quick look at the Dally M nominees that we think may have been revealed by the Daily Telegraph. They had a poll for the fans today that's saying, look, who can catch JT winning the Dally M award and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And they've listed a survey that basically has all the players that I'm guessing are actually in contention for the Dally M awards.
But surely that's just common knowledge.
Well, it's not, because it went in under the secrecy in what, round 16 or 17, Matt?
Oh, that long ago.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. 16, maybe, yeah.
So, according to the Daily Telegraph, Jonathan Thurston, Paul Gallen, Kieran Foran, Benji Marshall, Cameron Smith and Billy Slater, they're the only players that can win the Dally M. Where's Cooper Cronk? He's played pretty well of late.
Yeah, I would have thought he'd been a big card.
He's also injured.
This week, but that doesn't mean he hasn't got heaps of points already on the board.
Yeah, I know, but...
There's a couple of players there. JT had a fairly big lead going in. Some people say that Kieran Foran is a massive chance. Glenn Stewart's apparently an outside hope, according to, because he won a bunch of man of the matches in a row, I think, of late. But Benji Marshall has a real chance because of the draw for the Tigers in the next 3 weeks. They could win by plenty and he'd get a whole bunch of points. Paul Gallen probably can't win because the Sharks haven't won enough games of late. And Cameron Smith, Billy Slater, as we say, Cooper Cronk, probably are working against each other to close the gap on JT.
See, Kieran Foran would have Cherry Evans working against him as well, because they do share the load quite well. Whereas JT, who's the halfback up there at North Queensland?
Yeah, but M. Bowen probably.
M. Bowen's been taking a few points off of late
because
he's been playing.
Yeah.
Coach of the Year's interesting one. The list they've got there is Craig Bellamy, Wayne Bennett, Neil Henry, Des Hasler, and Anthony Griffin. I reckon it probably down to, well, the last three, really, realistically. I don't think Bellamy's probably going to get it because they'll say that they still had the superstars on their roster. Bennett, jeez, same deal. Henry's taken the Cowboys from nowhere to get into fourth spot.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Des Hasler's reinvigorated a Manly side that everyone thought had probably hit the end of their peak last year. And Griffin's Biscuits, fair effort coming in.
Griffin's Biscuits?
You never heard of them?
No.
Anyway, he's come in and taken over from Ivan Henjak with how many weeks before the season, Matt?
Oh, I think we're only three or so out, was, when Hook got the nod,
So there's a couple of names to go up. Now, the one that we really wanted to bring up here is the Dally M Rookie of the Year. We did our show halfway through the season for a reason, and that was to make sure that the players who had a great start to the year weren't forgotten in the way that we went through our list. Now, do you remember who came out in the top three players from that discussion, Matt?
Oh, there was DCE, wasn't there? Daly Cherry Evans?
Yep.
Tarek Sims was in there.
Yep.
And
one more.
Who was our other one? Will Hoppawattie?
Will Hoppawattie.
Oh,
exactly,
course.
Right. So, they're the three that we'd come up with by that stage, and, it wasn't a bad list. Having looked at the first 12 rounds, well, apparently, according to the Dally M Rookie of the Year list, these are the players that are in contention for the award. Chad Townsend from the Sharks, Tarek Sims, Elijah Taylor, Will Hoppawattie, DCE, Jack Reed, James Segayaro, and Aaron Woods. Now, a couple of players that we didn't get into our final three were guys like Gareth Widdop, Fifi Fofum. That's clear for
Fifi, but he didn't qualify, did he?
No, but he did. See, that's the issue. Everyone thinks that Gareth Widdop didn't qualify because he played three games in 2010, and
It was more than three.
No, and FIFO Fum played two games in 2010.
It was more than two.
Listen
okay.
to me.
Sorry.
Will Hapalade played three games last year. Everyone is basically saying that he... And so the rule is that if they play no more than three games, they get in.
They're a rookie this year.
So where is Gareth Widdop? That's the big
he's
one.
Having, he's, well,
how he hasn't got it in ahead of James Segura,
well,
and Aaron
it's
Woods.
It's the Dally M. I mean, he's Widdop's got a whole heap of other people taking points off him.
Well,
so
that's the only thing I can think of about, but then... What? How come FIFO Fum isn't in there if he's listed as one of the wingers of the year? Anywho, if you want to have a look at if you want to have a look at all the nominees,
now,
they are on the Daily Telegraph website. We've got to move along, but yes, Dave.
Okay,
point.
No,
point.
Chad Townsend was in there, but surely he hasn't.
He
been
played
there.
Nine games. Sean Johnson, the guy from the Warriors, played
nine
games.
Townsend only just started playing a few months back, didn't he?
Yeah, but it's no different than the guy who played the first 9 weeks and then.
No, but surely they've got a far bigger chance because they've played the extra nine games to make
the
points.
Remember, you're saying the extra points and the points could be the reason they get the thing out. We're going to have a quick look at round 23. We're going to fly through round 23, Matt.
Okay.
For the first time ever, it's going to take us less than 5 minutes.
Right, let's go.
Yes. Friday night, the Broncos 34, the North Queensland Cowboys 16. Broncos early start, just a little bit too hot for the Cowboys. I think that was the end of the game right there.
Yeah, blew the Cowboys out of the water and had Cowboys chasing Bowen nearly got them back into the game, but Broncos too good down that left-hand side.
Yeah. Cowboys had a real push midway through that second half, and then that ricochet into Dale Copley's arms pretty much killed the game.
Yeah, that was their hard to come back in it, and Copley slipped on the ball and away he went, and that was a good night, Cowboys.
Matty Bowen's try, pretty handy.
Yeah, very good footwork. He had poor old Peter Wallace bamboozled, and he's probably one of the best defenders outside the backs of the Broncos. Well, so he doesn't miss too many, but he beat him all ends up.
Indeed. Now the NRL Player of the Year awards. Josh Hoffman picked up all 8 points, and Josh McGuire, the Big Show. What happened? When does he learn to play football?
I don't know. He's coming to his own. Really playing some good football under Griffin this year. And with Hannah out, he really stood up, and he really impressed me.
Okay. Now Penrith Panthers 18, Tigers 32. Similar story to the other Friday night game. Tigers probably had this game won up 10-0 early in the match. There's a quote we had at the start of the show with Tim Sheens. You have to listen to the podcast if you're listening to the show live at the moment for what he said about the grind, but. Yeah, Tigers, this was another game where they didn't let the easy match go, and they got the 2 points, which basically secured their spot in the top eight.
Yeah, just did enough to win the Tigers. I think that was, probably a win they would like to have. I know Sheens was dirty about that last try, but, that was a good grinding win for the Tigers.
And also then Robbie Farah, pretty good start to the match. He's a quality player. Everyone knows what I think about him as a footballer, but he was very good in the opening part of this match. The West Tigers are growing beards at the moment during their winning streak, and every time I watch the press conference between Tim Sheens and Robbie Farah, I just go, Timmy Sheens, keep that beard going, sunshine. It takes about 3 years off him. It's massive. The Warriors 20, the Knights 12. Important win for the Warriors as that basically secured their top eight spot, but it opened up the door to a bunch of teams, the Knights losing.
Yeah, a few. The Doggies and the Rabbits would have got a bit excited. I thought the Knights had the Warriors in a bit of strife there. It was a credit to the Warriors to fight back. But, a couple of teams would have been cheering home the Warriors.
Aaron Haramaya continues to play excellent footy for the Warriors, but he will be heading overseas next year as Nathan Friend is the new number nine in Auckland next season.
Where's Haramaya going?
He's going to St Helens, I think.
Oh,
he's definitely
right.
Going overseas. It's as I said, opens the door for a couple of teams that Knights loss. And don't say we didn't tell you. Remember, a few weeks ago, what team did we say could drop out of the eight?
The
Knights.
We said the Knights, yeah.
Okay, good. Eels... But, sorry, yes?
Okay, yeah, righto.
Seagulls 26, Eels 20. It wasn't a great game of football, but Manly got gifted a few tries by the Eels, and that was about all she wrote for this one.
Yeah, Manly probably a little bit disappointed. I thought they would have won this one a little bit easier, and like you said, Eels served up a couple on the platter for them, so... I think Dazzy would have been a bit filthy, even though they did get the 2 points.
Yeah, Steve Maddow picked up a back-to-back tries from mistakes and that. Killed the Eels, who had a pretty good start, but you just got to go on with it in this game. And
it's the one thing they've been lacking the whole season. Go on with it.
Yeah,
finish it off. Finish it off.
The Storm 40, it's Titans 16. I watched the first half of this one and it was 22-6 at halftime and didn't need to watch the rest.
Storm just too good against a very ordinary football team.
Yeah, that sums it up beautifully. Billy Slater, Cooper Cronk, Cameron Smith. They took up all the points in the NRL Player of the Year Award. And don't feel bad about that, voters, because they are pretty good and there's a reason why they've lost, what, three games all season? Canberra Raiders had another fantastic start. No, they didn't. The Rabbitohs about 42-0 after 20 minutes.
Another grinding game of football.
Oh, it was outstanding from the Raiders. They lost 47 points to 18 to the Rabbitohs, who just continued to do what they need to do, beat bad sides and give themselves every chance with the Rabbitohs coming up in round 26.
Yeah, just too good. The Rabbits for the Raiders, who cost me a perfect round, not happy.
Oh. Yes, I still can't figure out why you thought Canberra would win that match, but having said that, and we'll just give quick wrap to Ben Ross, outstanding display. I know that John Sutton set up about five tries and Sando was great and Merritt picked up his customary hat-trick and now has, what, eight tries in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
If he scores another hat-trick this week, he matches Brett Mullins' 11 from three games from 94, but they're nowhere near Dave Brown, who I think had 16 tries or 14 tries in three games back in 1938 or 6 or something like that.
With the Roosters?
With the Roosters, yeah. He scored 4-6-6, so there you go. Do the maths.
Wow.
16. The Rabbitohs, yeah. That meant that they had a big chance at getting into striking distance of the top eight. And you said you picked the Raiders, mate, but you also picked the Roosters. So you swung and missed on one upset.
Wow.
But you got the Roosters beating the Dragons, and the Dragons all of a sudden, Dave. All of a sudden, two wins from 10 games, and this man, Matty Duncan, said at the start of the year that the Dragons would miss the eight.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
He also said the Cowboys would win a premiership. They're in the top four. This man, listen to him, because he could be right if the Dragons can't pull their finger out. What's going on?
What did he say about Manly?
I don't remember.
Let's
just focus on the two teams we have. Well,
Broncos would be top four as well.
Dragons got done 20 points to 12 by the Roosters, who obviously overcame that whole Todd Carney, Frank Paul, Nua Sala and Nate Miles shenanigans the other day. They were just too good. The Dragons were just too bad. No. I thought the Roosters played well, mate.
Yeah, the Roosters played well. I said that they treat it as a grand final. Sometimes when you see off-field incidents like that, it can really bring the team together. And I think it's what they did. They played some good football as a team. And to me, the Dragons just look like a tight football side.
Yep.
Yeah.
We've had this discussion a few times, haven't we, Dave?
Yeah.
This style is gonna wear on you after a certain period of time.
Yeah, and you need the determination to keep the level up, and they just don't have it.
Yeah.
But let me say, the Roosters did not play great football. Both teams played very ordinary. Both teams had dropped the ball far too much. Both teams had no structure.
Mm.
The Dragons were just worse than the Roosters.
Man, I'm gonna bottle that. That's always as good as hearing you say Canberra 13 out of 14 times. The Bulldogs 19, Sharks 12. I still can't get excited about the Bulldogs. They won this game, but the Sharks had plenty of opportunities in that second half to take it away from them. Weren't good enough. They kept bombing Ben Barber. And what happened, Matt?
He caught a few, didn't he?
He caught every one of them. I don't think he dropped a single ball from the high one all night. And the Sharks, who obviously had a game plan to bomb the life out of him, didn't adjust when they needed to. They had all his possession, and they just kept going with their last tackle and kicking. Didn't really try and score on plays before.
But the problem is, if you're going to do that, you've also got to take... Don't just wait for him to drop the ball. Go up there and contest the ball and get, you know, make sure he doesn't have a chance to catch it at all.
Or if you're Ben Pomeroy, just tackle the guy before the ball's even reached the postcode. I don't know what's going on with him. They've re-signed... it's one of those situations where I think you re-sign a player and he just goes, I've got a contract for 2 years, I'm just going to clock off for a week. Because he was awful.
I'm convinced that's how he's playing.
And he'll play second road in the New South Wales Cup this week after being their first choice centre pretty much all year. So figure that out, everybody. I certainly cannot. Fantasy League score update. If you've got Nathan Merritt or Chris Sander, you are 1-2. Spookalicious are on 174. Big Popper Pump on 162. There's a few other teams a fair way behind, because if you've got Chris Sander, who scored however many thousand points, and Baby Chimney coming up in last spot. We love Baby Chimney on 73 points. The best score possible is 254, and there are 3 weeks to go. So it looks like we're going to have a new leader, a new winner of this particular phase.
How are those T-shirts going?
Outstanding, outfanning.
Outfanning.
Outfanning, new word, everybody. You didn't enter, mate, so what are you complaining about? well, after the round 23, Nick McInerney, 113 from 168, continues to be a star on the tipping front. DC Chapman, if only you entered your tips online, you'd be doing very well. You're 107 from 168. Maddie, you're on 103. I'm on 100. Maria, who we'll talk to soon, is on 95. And Eyes is on 86. So there is round 23 in review. How refreshing was that to do that quickly, Matt?
It was good.
We didn't do it in under 5 minutes, by the way.
Well, it's close enough. Now, Maddie, we're gonna finish up getting your tips for round number 24. We've got some questions answered, though, and that is, what were the two teams that have won, at least 7 games in most recent memory? And the answer is the Melbourne Storm in 2007.
Okay.
Let me just check my notes. The Melbourne Storm in 2007, yes. And the Canberra Raiders in 2003. They both won 7 games to start the season.
Did they really?
They did. That was a great year for the Raiders until Jason Bugarelli decided to play football. North Queensland won 6 in a row in 2006. In recent years, Canterbury 3 this year, Melbourne 4 last year, Brisbane 3 in 09 and 08. So it's been tough for teams to try and put streaks together. The Bulldogs in 2002, before they were done for salary cap cheating, actually won 8 of their first 9 games in 2002.
There was a Manly team in the mid-90s that won 1,000 in a row too, wasn't there? Now I was thinking of it.
Yeah, that was 1995, I believe. I think so, yeah, because they only lost 2 games all that year, and so did the Raiders. So
one of them was the grand final.
That was. Although that was I found a typo in poor old Joey Johns' book. I'm reading that again, everybody. It's a good read, Joey Johns.
That was 97.
In 95, he said that they beat them in the preliminary final of 95, and they went through next week and beat the Bulldogs, but that was actually incorrect. So it wasn't actually his. He wouldn't have put that down. That would have been the proofreader. So, Matty, we're going to get your tips for round 24, Friday night, the Storm and the Dragons at Amy.
Storm too good for a tired Dragons team.
How's that feel, Dave, when he says stuff like that?
Oh, it hurts.
Okay.
But he's right. He's absolutely right.
Rabbitohs and Cowboys at ANZ.
Oh, I think Cowboys will bring the Rabbitohs back to earth this week. I think the run under the belt for JT, they'll be a better team this week.
Okay. The Titans and the Raiders?
Oh, yeah, I couldn't tip the Titans. And I know the Raiders aren't flash, but the Titans are a horrible team. Raiders.
And Josh Dugan's not playing.
I don't care if it was Gary Belch out of retirement. They'd beat the Titans.
Hey, that's a bit harsh on Badge. He's still pretty fit. Panthers and Warriors in Penrith.
I'll go the Warriors there.
Okay. We've got the Roosters and the Sharks at the Sydney Football Stadium in front of about 25 people.
Yeah, about 25 people. Be nearly the first time Roosters go back-to-back this year, but yep, the Roosters.
All right, we've got the Seagulls and the Bulldogs at Brookie.
Yeah, I don't rate the Bulldogs at all. Go the Seagulls.
Tigers and Eels at Sydney Football Stadium.
Tigers probably on an ice roll there. They should bust the Eels.
And your Broncos can really make the Newcastle fans a little bit nervous, or really, really nervous.
Real danger game for them, I feel. But, look, I think they can do enough to get away with that one.
Okay, fried rice from you, sir. I think you have second selection this evening. So I better give you my selection while I think about it.
Yep.
No. Oh, what do I do? I'll take Manly to beat. Oh, Manly or Tigers? Manly or Tigers? Manly or Tigers? I'll take Manly to beat the Bulldogs for my fried rice.
I'll go the Storm.
Oh, I love it.
Okay.
All right, Dave. While we're here,
yeah.
Who do you want for your fried rice, mate?
Tigers.
Tigers, and we'll speak to Nicholas a little bit later on to get his. Well, Matty Duncan, there are is his segment, and it's done by 9 o'clock. That's a new record for us.
That's beautiful work.
And you're doing your work. Are you doing more than one day on that 101.5 FM?
I got filled in yesterday. Had to do a bit of filling work.
So what have you got in sports fever this week, mate?
Yeah, we're talking to new Redcliffe Dolphins club president Bob Jones about the future direction of the Dolphins and how he's enjoying the new role. It's baseball sign on, so we're talking to a couple of local baseball teams, and also Dan Nisbet, who's a young Caboolture golfer playing in the junior PGA at the moment. We'll talk to his coach. So action packed sports fever as always.
You can listen to Maddie's sports fever show at www.1015fm.com.au. very similar way you're watching us now. If you're watching live, they've got a stream on that website at 8 a.m, or you can get the podcast, which goes up a couple of days later. Matty Duncan, always a pleasure, and we'll speak to you next week on Not the Footy Show.
Love your work, boys. See you later.
See you later, Matt.
Not the Footy Show. Show.
Titans coach John Cartwright on Matt Schremer.
Yeah, I don't like comparing players. I don't like doing that. It puts too much pressure on a young kid. No, Matt Schremer's Matt Schremer. You know, he's everyone within our club knows what we think of Matt. He could be anything, and he's got the right attitude to do it. Oh, without a doubt. You know, it wouldn't surprise me to see him get Player of the Year in both grades. You know, might be the first time ever.
Not the Footy Show.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. I'm the boss. Need the info.
Okay, everyone, welcome back to Not the Footy Show. Maria Cialis, the Queen of Rugby League and Big League, is on the line. And Maria, good evening.
Hello. I don't know about that nickname.
The Queen of Rugby League. You don't like it.
Don't get me wrong. But...
The Princess of Rugby League, perhaps?
Oh, no, it's fine. Queen is fine. I think there are a lot of women who are beg to differ.
Ooh, has there been a bit of chat? Has DC Chapman's nickname caused a bit of a stir in the old press box?
No, definitely not. They're just a lot better than me.
Oh, come now.
And older and more experienced, but thank you.
Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with being a queen. Queen is bestowed upon you.
Oh, okay.
Are we the people? We're voting.
This is what I'm saying.
Okay, so there you go, everybody. She's on the line. She's here to talk about rugby league as always. And Frankie Pritchard from the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. We mentioned at the top of the show he got exonerated from his high tackle. Or was it a high tackle? What was the charge, Maria?
It was a careless high tackle, I think.
Well, what was it, a tackle, ladies and gentlemen, or was it a shoulder charge?
Or was it a shoulder charge that hit the guy's head?
Put it back to almost the halfway line.
Bravo! Frank got him in a Pritchard crusher. My goodness, that was a tackle. And Wayne Graham has felt the full effects of that. That is something again, Mike.
We've got a bit of clarity on the nose.
All the unbelievable teammates. Oh, He might have an issue here, Frank. Oh,
well, he's run straight into the shoulder of Pritchard.
I believe it was a shoulder charge that hit the guy's head.
Yes, certainly it was.
What did... I haven't read the report from the NRL yet about why he got let off. I just saw that he got let off. Have you read anything that says the reason that he's not spending a week on the sideline?
I haven't actually yet, but I know it was downgraded, not dismissed, so I think he probably means he's got some carryover points in case he does it again.
Yeah. This brings the question, basically, what should happen to a player if he is responsible for smashing a bloke in the head? I don't care what part of the body he hits him.
Yeah.
Surely there is a bit of responsibility on the player if there is contact with the head, like we saw the other night.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know, there are lots of variables, don't you think?
Well,
It's a bit different than coming in and swinging your arm into someone's face.
The thing is, it's
a big difference.
I don't mind the tackle normally. Like, that kind of tackle, I like the fact they go in, they put their body into the tackle. But if you have a look at Wade Graham, he's pretty straight up. And Frankie hasn't really tried to miss him in the way that he's attempted the tackle. It's different if he's coming in from the side and trying to shoulder charge him or whatever. But he's come in, he's launched, and his arm comes up. Not that the arm obviously made any contact with the guy's head. I'm not saying that at all. But he's obviously gone for the massive...
Yeah,
I'm going to level this bloke deluxe, and he didn't leave himself any. There wasn't even a margin for room for error because he hit what I think he was aiming for in some respects, which was straight on Wade Graham.
Who is a small fella? I'd
agree. There is an onus on a player. We were talking about it in the office, and if Frank Pritchard was trying that on, Matt Orford or something, he'd knock his head off. So there is the onus on the player to sort of adjust their body positioning compared to what they're tackling.
Yes,
but I didn't think at the time, and I still don't think that tackle was that bad.
Okay. Well, again, that brings the other question up: what's intent, etc. I don't think he was trying to hurt him, but he also didn't look after what he was doing, and that's where my thing with the judiciary is: they by continually letting guys off, and this isn't a go at Frank Pritchard in the slightest, but by continually letting guys off who get charged for a week off, like Gallen last week, it's basically sending the message, well, you know, we're going to sort of get tough on you, but if you decide to challenge us,
then when yeah,
you're going to let you play. So that's not going to stamp this kind of tackle out of the game, and that is really what their focus has got to be, surely.
Yes, and Kuma Tai didn't. He went to the judiciary,
and he missed out. He got 2 weeks for his. Who is Kuma Tai? Yeah.
Again,
who's a Kuma Tai? How dare you?
No, I'm just making a point that he's not Frank Pritchard. He's not Paul Gallen, and unfortunately, that seems to be a little bit of a factor in all of this. I don't know. We just
consistency from the judiciary is what. Hey.
Are you telling a fictional story here or a fable by any chance? How does this one go, Dave? Can you tell me about the judiciary that's consistent? Because I've never heard of that one before.
No, it doesn't exist. It's a fable. They're told from, you know, long ago.
Yep.
About this magical land.
Get three blokes in a room, get them to look at the tackle and say, yeah, it's 2 weeks. Yeah, it's 4 weeks. That's 6 weeks. Whatever it is. Instead of this system that we come up with, which basically means that a player can challenge and get away with it. I don't know. I'm old school.
No, but hang on. The players have got to have the ability to challenge. Because it does happen in a lot of cases where there's an overreaction, and then it's meant. There's a lot of cases where it works.
Having said that, it's just that there's Wade also Graham a lot of cases bleeding from the ear and his mouth and everywhere else on his body. If he hadn't stood up on Monday night, Frank Pritchard would have been sent off. There you go. That's what.
What about Simon Dwyer and Jared Rhea Hargrave?
Didn't hit him in the head.
Was a smile in here, Maria? I don't remember the particular tackle.
There was some contact with head and, I think, shoulder. It wasn't just all melon.
I don't think Frank's was either.
You can be the judge, people. You can check out NRL.com, and they've got the tackle on that game analyzer, and you can make the judge for yourself. But clearly the NRL judiciary decided that he doesn't have a big enough case to answer.
Even though he absolutely blasted the guy in the head with his shoulder to the point where he was bleeding out his ear.
Bondi Cruiser would like to point out he said sorry afterwards.
That was a bit scary. The ear thing was a bit frightening.
You make a guy bleed from the mouth and the ear from a hit to the head, you've hit him too hard at the head. End of discussion.
Well, okay, Dave, we'll end the discussion there. we're going to ask you a next question, Maria. You've seen a lot of rugby league this year. You were involved in the big league season preview. You had to put down who you think was going to finish first, second, etc. And, of course, last, Newcastle. Which is the worst team in rugby league in 2011?
The Raiders.
Dave?
Which is the worst team, or which team has had the worst season?
Which is the worst team in 2011?
Which is the worst team?
I'm asking. I'll be clear again. Which is the worst team in 2011?
The team that's on the bottom of the ladder.
I might have to retract for him then.
Okay.
Do you mean the team that's been the biggest disappointment?
In your opinion,
this is why I started clarifying, Maria, and now he's being a bit childish.
No, I'm asking, which has been the worst team in 2011?
The Titans. That's a given.
Yeah.
They're on the bottom of the ladder. They've been the worst team.
Canberra Raiders by a mile.
But Canberra Raiders have done some good stuff every now and then.
When?
Well, they've won more games than the Titans.
Do you know how many more?
Or one.
Oh, they're so much better. Now, you want to ask the question again, and that is, in comparison to how you thought they'd go, which team has gone the worst this season? Is that what you want me to ask you?
No, which team has had the worst season is a different question again. Because Parramatta should be far more ahead of what they have, but they just haven't been able to finish, which has really cost them
wins doesn't matter now anymore, if that's the case. Because you just said the Titans finished last because they got the least wins.
Yeah, exactly, because it's a different question, was it?
So I'm asking, in relation to how you thought they'd go, which teams had the worst season? And I think Maria said Canberra, is that right?
Yes.
So she says Canberra, and you said Titans.
I said Titans. I mean, if you look at Parramatta's roster, they're probably there where they should be.
Mm.
Whereas the Raiders had everything going for them, and they just suck.
Except for Terry Campese for half the season, but...
Well...
Kind of an important player.
The Titans.
But I still agree with you. I still agree with you.
The Titans have a very similar side to what they've had for the last 3 years, and in the last 3 years they've come third every year.
Last two.
Two, is it? And not too far off that the year before.
They didn't make the finals.
Oh, okay. Well, the last 2 years, anyway.
Okay.
So, but this is what I'm saying. The Titans the answer to your question.
All right, you guys. Okay, I'm going to go with the Raiders as the most.
All right, you're wrong, but okay.
Do you have an opinion, everybody? Let's have a look on the chat room. Roosters, most disappointing. Bondi Krooster says.
No, yeah, that's a good point. Roosters have had too many off-field problems. Yeah. It's not comparable, I don't think.
And I think you've got to have a look at how they played as well. You were saying before about Parramatta, you know, they haven't played terrible football. They just haven't been able to win games. Canberra have had, I reckon, two stretches this year that have been just abysmal. Yeah. And the Titans have never looked likely. To me, it's different.
Yeah,
than,
yeah, yeah. From, I don't know. Since game one, the Titans have...
But they get another chance against the Raiders this week. Eels are in transition, according to Bursef. Bursef?
Yeah, Bursef. That'll do it.
Okay, Maria, we're going to get your tips for round number 24 and also get you to tell us what's in Big League Magazine this week. Friday night, Melbourne Storm and St. George Illawarra Dragons. Will you be going to the game?
No, I'm not actually. I'm not just saying this. There's a 50 Cent concert on that night, and I'll be there. So I have to watch the game on delay when I come home.
Fitty.
Hopefully nobody spoils me.
Okay, Fitty.
Could
I name one song?
I can't even sing one.
Is he take you off all your clothes, guy?
No.
It's getting hot in here.
Who's saying that one? Who's saying?
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Nelly.
Oh, it's Nelly. Sorry.
Nelly.
Up to speed on my hip hop.
Maria, what?
Go, shorty. It's your birthday. We're gonna party like it's your birthday.
I know one.
Maria, I didn't quite get that. You need to sing it for me.
No, that's
yeah, come on, sing it.
I need a few drinks, which is why I'll be singing it on Friday.
All right. I know a song.
Go. You got to sing it.
No, I'm not singing it.
Oh, come on.
The only reason I know this is because it's on a TV show that I watch and it was one of their songs on their soundtrack. Was Pimp Juice a song by 50 Cent?
Possibly.
Pimp Juice?
Yeah.
Look it up, people. Pimp, there you go. There's a bit of culture with Voz, Dave, and Maria for you. Yeah, Pimp Juice. Actually, not a bad song, to be perfectly honest. It was on Chuck.
I'll take your word for
you're
it.
My Pimp Juice.
On Chuck.
Yeah.
Pimp Juice on Chuck.
That's right. She want my pimp juice. Quite disappointingly, that was actually Nelly, not 50 Cent. So, Fitty, get it together, eh? Get a good song.
Okay, then.
All right, everybody. Sing, don't rap. Apparently, Bondi wants to tell us. All right. 50 Cent concert. Wow. Storm and Dragons, Friday night.
Dragons.
Ooh, did you hear the confidence, Dave?
I think the Storm needs to lose one, and I think the Dragons are going to be all, you know, galvanised and whatever.
Okay, Rabbitohs and Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Ooh, Dave.
I don't know, I can flip a coin.
Then the next one's very hard. Titans and Raiders.
Now, these are the two worst teams in rugby
league.
We just had a conversation about this.
And Maria said the Raiders is the worst, so you're going to go Titans here, Maria.
Was going to go for the Titans, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Logic is flawless. Panthers and Warriors.
Oh, Warriors. Definitely.
All right. James Dowding wants to say, did 50 Cent sing Who Let the Dogs Out?
No, that was the Baja Men or something.
That was the Baja Boys. That was Baja Men. You're right, Dave.
Is it? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know why I know that. Roosters. Well, probably because I've gone to a Bulldogs game in the last 10 years. Yeah, Roosters and Sharks.
Wow, two riveting games. Roosters.
All right. And on Sunday?
How many fans are going to be at that game, Maria?
25.
Oh! Now, yeah. I would be impressed if I knew you hadn't been watching us on the Ustream beforehand. Seagulls and Bulldogs.
The Bulldogs. Yep, I'm doing that.
Yeah, wow. Tigers and Eels on Sunday.
Tigers.
All right, and then finally, the Knights play the Broncos on Monday night.
Probably the best game of the round. I mean, besides Storm Dragons. Broncos. No. Broncos.
Yep. Okay, so Maria has given us her tip there. Now, she writes in a magazine called Big League Magazine. And what's in it this week, Maria?
Really nice colour story on Billy Slater and how he got through last year. which is obviously a very difficult one for everyone at the Storm. Aidan Guerra, probably the shining light to come from the Rooster this year, which is kind of indicative of this season. He's off contract, actually, and I was thinking he'd be a really good buy for anybody looking for a back rower.
Yeah, he's been pretty good on the edges this year.
Yeah, yeah. I went to Wollongong the other day when they lost, the Dragons lost, and talked to a few Dragons. And everyone seems really confused. I don't know.
Okay.
It's interesting. Everyone seems really lost. The players are just like, we don't know. We don't know what's happening. So it's interesting. And a lot of their fans have written them off, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, Dave, you're a fan of the St. George's Illawarra Dragons. Are you writing them off?
I'm not writing them off, but geez, at the moment they're not. I've been saying it for weeks and weeks that they just look like they don't have the hunger anymore, and that's gonna play a massive part. And I didn't expect them to start win 2 out of 10 or something like that. Whatever it is, that's ridiculous. But they are the Dragons, and there is every chance that they can turn it back on and start winning games again.
So who did you speak to from the Dragons, Maria?
Nathan Shane and Ben Cray, and I watched Dean Young as well talk to some people. Okay. He was really fired up. If you want to make a comparison, the team that has the same streak as the Dragons currently, which I think is 2 from 9, is the Gold Coast Titans.
Wow.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Not good.
And I think the Titans are one of those teams that beat the old Dragons in amongst that streak. So what else? Anything else for people to have a look out for?
Oh, heaps of stuff.
Oh.
Chris Sandow talks about wanting to get South. I can't believe what's happened, that there's actually a chance they might make the top 8. It's incredible.
Well, we went through the teams a few weeks ago and we said that South couldn't, because I think that weekend they were playing the Dragons, and that was the one that we thought they were going to beat the Dragons. But if we had a bit of foresight maybe and realised that the Dragons suck at the moment, you know, maybe we'd have said the South were a big chance, but they do hold.
But now, are they in running with the Dogs? Are they at around about the same?
They're on 24 points each. And Knights are on 26. And as we said, the Bunnies, they play, we said, the Cowboys this week. And who have they got next week, Maria?
They've got the Broncos and then they've got the Knights.
So it's not the easiest run, but the Knights have to win. Probably now, they've got to win 2 of their last 3 games. Well, they've probably got to knock both the Rabbitohs and the Dogs out of commission to make the 8.
In terms of teams that have, you know, their sort of life in their own hands, the Knights are it. They need to win, otherwise other people are coming for them. And it's awesome, they all play each other.
Yeah.
Which is,
And I just love how we all wrote off the top 8 as a gimmick, as a terrible thing 3 weeks ago. And, the NRL's got very lucky, personally, but... Anywho, that's the way it ends up.
Well, you can't... I mean, rugby league is rugby league. It was bound to happen.
It's a funny game. It's a funny game.
It is a funny game.
It's an exclusive.
I've said, can I just take this opportunity? I know...
Oh, Dave, you can go wild for at least another
I know
seconds.
People don't like hearing it, but this is proof that the salary cap is working.
What, the Dragons suck?
No, that...
Sorry.
That everyone...
I don't mind the Dragons.
Everyone said that it was the 8 was a write-off, and this is proof that the salary cap doesn't work. But now, it's actually happening the way it's supposed to happen, and there's still a competition to make the 8.
What about the people that reckon that the salary cap's not working because Melbourne have lost 3 games?
Well, yeah, but everyone knows that's good coaching.
What about last year when they...
Well, everyone knows the reason for that as well, and
Was it good coaching or was it the salary cap?
Last year, it was the salary cap.
Okay.
And the 5 years before that.
All right.
And, well, and good coaching, wasn't it? I mean, you can't deny.
I don't know.
You can't deny.
You're the one coming up with the theory, buddy. All right, Maria, now you will be going to which games this weekend?
I'll be at Manly Bulldogs.
Okay, not heading out to...
I'm a quiet one.
You're not heading out to Rabbitohs Cowboys Friday night?
No, I'll be at 50 Cent.
I just wanted to hear you say it again. All right, everybody. Maria will be reporting on her 50 Cent experience. I'm trying to think of a good joke here, but nothing's coming to me. Dave, you got anything?
No, I'm not good with jokes. You know that.
Yeah, I do. All right, Maria, enjoy 50 Cent. I hope it's everything you hoped it would be. And look out for Pimp Juice. Great song.
It'll be a game of 2 quarters.
Oh, Dave, let's go. Maria, thanks for being on the show. We'll speak to you next week on The Footy Show.
Thanks.
See you, Maria.
Just how much does Brian Smith, Sydney Roosters coach, like the look of his back row in the future? Have a listen.
Today, I think that back row we've had today, and some of the younger guys in our front row as well. That forward pack is, that's our future. They're our guys that we're looking to over the coming seasons. We've got some great experienced players in that group, but those young guys, they're going to be the ones that determine where and how fast we go forward next season. And if you were lucky enough to be here, or if you've been our under-20s in the last couple of months, and now on an 8-game winning streak, and there's some absolutely stunningly hot young blokes playing in that game. I mean performance. I'm going to get out of that somehow. Their performances have been fantastic, and there's two or three of them that we've got earmarked for really big things in the future. But Jason Taylor and that crew with our NYC have taken them in. I think they're in the top four now after sluggish start, and most of the kids are actually out of our SG ball team, under 18, or they're 19 years old and going to play in that crew again next season. So, this is a really big day for us. They won, and coming from behind to win as well today. So I'm wrapped in the future of the Roosters.
Well, everybody, last part of Not the Footy Show, and the benefits of releasing on Thursday morning means I can get a new tipster for 2011. Now, you've heard Boots before.
Hello.
Yeah, doing a tips with eyes usually, but we couldn't get on to eyes yesterday, so someone has stepped up to the plate, and that is Eyes' mummy, which is my
sister, Jacqueline.
Hey, so you're the genius that has provided me with two new Canberra fans, so I appreciate that. Now, we're going to go through round 24 and get your tips and Boots' tips on behalf of Eyes, okay?
Yep.
Okay, Friday night, the Storm play the Dragons.
We're going to go for the Storm.
Storm!
And then we've got the Rabbitohs up against the Cowboys.
Rabbitohs.
And we've got the Titans and the Canberra Raiders.
Canberra Raiders.
Canberra Raiders!
We've got the Panthers up against the Warriors.
The Warriors.
Warriors.
The Roosters and the Sharks.
The Sharks.
The Sharks.
The Sea Eagles and the Bulldogs.
Sea Eagles.
The Tigers play the Eels.
Tigers!
And then the Knights play the Broncos.
The Newcastle Knights.
The Newcastle Knights.
Now, finally, before we let you go, a fellow redhead has retired from rugby league. Do you know who that was, Jacqueline?
Alan Tung, of course. And we all recall 2007 and the field goal he scored against the Roosters.
All right, well, thank you very much, Jacqueline. Thank you very much, Boots, for tipping on Eyes' behalf. And that little history of Alan Tung was particularly insightful. So thanks very much for allowing your son to tip every week. Everybody enjoys that. And we'll see how you stack up with your tips this week, eh?
Anytime.
There's 20 seconds on the clock. Albert, he will play it. 21 metres away. Down the blind, Andrew John. Inside for Albert. Albert will score. Albert will score. Newcastle have won the grand final. Albert is over. Manly has been beaten by Newcastle on full time.
Who made the tackle on Andrew Johns but couldn't stop the offload for Darren Albert to run through and score in the 97? GF, who knows the answer to that?
Cliffy Lyons.
Wrong. He made the tackle on Darren Albert before that play the ball beforehand and was in an offside position. So was this bloke, actually. That should have been a penalty. This bloke was offside when he made the tackle.
Because the story goes, or the way Joey tells it, is that it was the end of the match and they were tired defenders and he noticed them going out to the wing for a rest. So mm-hmm. That's why he deliberately ran out to that wing. Oh, he deliberately sent the ball out to that wing. The guy got tackled. Butterfield went in to do the dummy half and Joey goes in and tells him to pee off. And so then he makes the break inside, shimmies through the in towards the gap and draws them in and then offloads to Albert.
If you don't know the answer, think about who played on the left. Here's a clue for you. Who played on the left for Manly in that season? That should really help you. And if you can tell me who the two players that Albert ran between to score the try, I'll give you bonus points. All right, ask the second question while you think about that. Who is the top regular season try scorer in Super League in 1997 and the ARL in 1997?
Not the Footy Show.
Hey, you got a tip, Bruce.
What a chump.
A chump, not a chump. A tip for what brew?
The footy brew.
Okay, everybody, last segment on the Footy Show, episode 78. That means it's time for...
Mac, Nick and Ernie, the best tipster there ever was for 2011.
Yeah, you just pick favourites, mate. That's all you do. You just pick favourites. DC Chapman with me to go through the last segment.
Why are the favourites favourites?
Yeah, because you're a gutless wonder. That was a bit harsh, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a bit harsh.
Okay, we might edit that.
No. No, leave it in there. It's all good.
No,
mate. It's good to hear you apologise.
Tip some favourites. Tip some favourites and just do something different this week, mate.
Oh, don't worry. There's going to be nothing different. It's all favourites, man. It's all favourites.
Yeah, I would have thought so. Okay, mate, we're going to get your tips for round 24. But before we do that, how are you feeling about those Dragons?
Oh man. Four losses in a row. What is it? We've lost seven out of the last nine, something like that. I'm not feeling as optimistic, perhaps, as I was a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, it's probably not as bad as everyone's saying. As long as we can... This game's a real big test for us. I'm not giving up on us. Unless, if the Storm beat us by 30, all right, I might pull the pin.
Ooh!
if we compete in this game, that'll be good enough for me. If we just can match it with them, and as long as it's a close game, I'll be happy.
Okay, well, the game we're talking about is the Storm and the Dragons, Friday night at Amy Park. You're taking?
I'm tipping here because I'm going in so many comps quite well. I have to tip the Storm. You can't tip the Dragons at the moment, can you?
Not well, against the Storm.
Well, Dave agrees. Dave agrees with you. He's going with the Storm as well, aren't you, Dave?
Yeah, I am. I do think that at some stage they'll turn it around, but I think it might be a bit too little too late. It's looking like their grasp on the premiership is sliding good and proper.
I disagree. Dragons will beat the Melbourne Storm on Friday night. They are good things.
See, I was tempted because the Storm have lost Cooper.
Yeah, that is a big thing.
And they've won a bazillion games in a row, so you just know with this sort of comp, and if there's anything that will get the Dragons pumped, it has to be playing the Storm. It has to be. So I don't know. I'm not writing them off, but you have to pick the Storm, really.
No, you don't. Pick the Dragons and be confident. Rabbitohs and Cowboys at ANZ on Friday night as well.
Lock in the Rabbitohs for me. I was tempted to go to the Cowboys, but the Rabbitohs have been in sensational form, and that really does pain me to say, because not been the world's biggest fan of some of their players this year, but they're putting it together, and they're making a late charge, so, yeah, I'll be kicking myself if I don't tip them, so got to go to Rabbitohs.
Now, Dave?
I'm going the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm with him. Cowboys to win. They've lost two in a row, granted, but...
It's not an easy pick, because, like you say, the Rabbitohs are playing very well at the moment, so it's not a given, but to me, the Cowboys are a more classy outfit, so I'm sticking with them.
First and second game back from an injury, and that forward pack, I think, matches up well against the Rabbitohs, so I'm going with the Cowboys. Titans and Raiders, mate, Saturday night.
Oh, wow. Well, this is in Titanville, is it not?
Yes, it is.
See, they've got no Scotty Prince, though, so... I'm going to... Oh, Dugs is out, though. I did hear Dugs was out. That's a big factor for the Raiders. I don't know, how many games have you won this year without him? I'd be interested to see a stat. You know off the top of your head, Mighty Wazza?
No idea, but...
Let's go with zero. Well, I don't know. It's home ground advantage. As I said, that's my favourite players from both teams are out. Oh, well, I stared hard, long and hard at this one today. That's right, I actually looked at the games before doing the segment this week.
Just so you know, I think that the Titans are favourites.
I know the Titans are favourites, but I wanted to tip Canberra, but then I saw Dugs was out, and there's a couple of players else out, and I just don't know who's going to score points for them, really.
Crunch time, Nicky. Make a call.
So, home ground advantage, Titans. Thanks.
All right, Dave?
Well, I said Titans earlier on, but I forgot about Princey being out, and now I'm thinking maybe I'll change my mind.
Yeah, toss a coin.
Because Preston Campbell is their halfback, and he really is past it. He's not going to create a damn thing.
I thought I was harsh against Nick earlier on, but you just crushed.
Well,
the
no, I'm sorry, but
servant of the game of all time.
Servant of the game, but he can't create a damn thing at the moment. I'm changing because of that. I'm changing my tip to Canberra.
No, you get done for it. You should never change the tip.
I'm going with the Raiders. Now the Panthers take on the Warriors Saturday night, mate.
Warriors by a bazillion.
Okay. Dave?
Yeah, Warriors.
Yep, I'm with you as well. If the Warriors are fair dinkum, they have to win this game. Roosters and Cronulla at SFS on also Saturday night, the other game.
This is another coin toss, dead set, and to be honest, the care factor is nil. I'm trying to be stubborn.
Should we say the joke again, Wazza?
No, let's not do it. How many... Okay. I'll ask you, Nick, you haven't heard. How many people are going to turn up at the ground on the Saturday night for the Sharks and the Roosters?
How many? Is there a punchline coming? Because not going to be many.
Well, that's for you to find out,
give
mate.
Give us a number. Give us a number. How many?
Well, Toddy won't turn up. You know that. Ooh, am I allowed to say that?
No, he'll be in the crowd for sure. That's a guaranteed one in the crowd.
He'll be on the waters. Come on, give us a figure. Give us a crowd figure.
Okay. Let's go with 4,201.
Yeah, no, that's more accurate. We went with 25.
25,000 or 25 people?
No, 25 people. It was a running joke.
Oh, very disappointing.
Moving on.
Anyway, we thought you could play that game beautifully.
Who are you tipping in this game, Wazza?
I'll take the Roosters to beat the Sharks, and you will.
I'm sticking with the Sharks, but apparently the Sharks didn't play very well.
They didn't. Who have you got, mate?
Yeah, I'm taking the Roosters. I like what I saw against the Dragons. Maybe the fact that they got rid of a few blokes who kick her in quite in the right place has done some good, and I think that'll be too good for the Sharkies, especially with Gowan playing on one leg.
Manly and the Bulldogs?
Manly all the way.
Manly to win that. Dave and I concur. The Tigers and...
You're going to go Tigers next.
And the Eels?
Yeah, the Tigers have to win this one. They've been playing some pretty sparkling football, and I don't think the Eels have anything to play for.
Yep, agreed. Our Monday night, tougher game to pick. The Knights host the Broncos.
I am taking Brisbane. I still have a lot of faith in this Brisbane team, and I think they'll be going... You can't rule them out. They're a team that's just not going to go away this year with the whole Lockyer factor. I mean, it's going to carry them over the line. In my mind, I see them going pretty close to the GS. I think they'll be too good for Newcastle.
I've got Newcastle, Dave.
I've got Broncos.
All right, there are tips for round 24. Now, everybody, we've got a couple of last things to go before we leave you on the podcast tonight, and that is a couple of signing news. Eels have signed West Tigers, well, junior. He's now playing New South Wales Cup, I think, but Jake Mullaney played fullback for the Tigers in New South Wales Cup, in Toyota Cup a couple of years ago. Went pretty good. He's gone to the Eels, and Chris Armitt and Cameron Seraldo have signed with the Penrith Panthers for next season. Mate, we've got a couple of questions that people, as the podcast ends, and these are the two questions.
We're not going to answer them.
No, we're going to leave it for the week. Everyone can think about it. All right. Who made the tackle on Andrew Johns but couldn't stop him offloading in the 1997 Grand Final when Darren Albert scored the match-winning try?
What do you think, Nick?
I thought it was rhetorical.
Okay.
That's not the correct answer. Rhetorical did not make the tackle.
Any ideas?
I have absolutely no idea.
And bonus points if you can tell us also who the two players that Albert ran between to score the try.
That's very hard, though.
It's tough. It's tough, but some people have that kind of memory and they can remember. Now, the other question that we have to send us out is, who were the top regular season try scorers in 1997 in both Super League and the ARL competition? So we'll leave you with those two questions, everybody, as we head out of Not the Footy Show. Nick McInerney has been on the line. Now, Nick, you're going to need to give us your fried rice selection. The Seagulls, the Storm, and the Tigers are gone.
Seagulls, Storm, Tigers. Well, someone's confident with the Storm. Seagulls, Storm, Tigers are all gone. What do I like? I'm going to lock in the Warriors. They'll dust them up.
They'll beat the Penrith Panthers. All right, mate. Well, we look forward to your company next week. And everybody, you want to check out our video this week. Because DC, Chapman and I discussed the whole hoo-ha over whether Terry Lamb actually played 350 first grade games. Watch the video, decide for yourself, and remember, everybody, please, Dave, what should they remember when they watch the video?
We are not trying to pull Darren Lockyer down, and don't forget, he's going to break the record anyway, so take a chill pill.
That's it. Check the video out, and you can find out why there's a suggestion that maybe Terry Lamb played 350 first grade games. And D. Lockyer, everybody, will break the record this week. As DC Chapman
and
says.
And then he'll play another eight and blow it out of the park.
Blow it out of the park. There'll be no doubt at all.
So,
anyway.
Nick, calm down if you're a Darren Lockyer supporter.
Indeed. Nick McInerney, any final words to leave us with tonight, mate?
Zeppelin. Cheese.
And with that, we'll see you next week on The Footy Show. I've been Warren Nicholson.
I've been DC Chapman.
And Zeppelin Cheese is on the phone. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. B
Show.
Finally here on Not The Footy Show, DC Chapman, what are we standing in front of?
We are standing in front of Alan Tung's jersey from
2003. Number 15. It's the smallest jersey around, so we figured it had to be Alan Tung. And the reason it's Alan Tung is I reckon we could get a DNA sample of his blood or something like that. I don't know if you can make it out, but there's a bit of blood over here.
There's a bloodstone there, a bit of claret.
Right, obviously all the players sign their names, and of course, Alan Tung right there, right ladies there. And gentlemen.
Alan Tung, we salute you.
Not The Footy Show.
Final word on Not The Footy Show episode 78 goes to Preston Campbell. He was asked what the highlight of captaining the Gold Coast Titans was on Saturday night.
I was on it, you know. I can take anything from it. I won the toss. So good, one from one.
You've been sleeping over there?